It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not bad, thank you. How are you?
Good, it's great to speak to you. It's been a couple of weeks and we've got plenty to cover.
Yes.
Things move fast in politics, so...
They do. Not as fast as what's happening around the world, though. It makes New Zealand look very pedestrian.
Absolutely. I feel like it's a battle between the US and the UK at the moment, to be the most dramatic.
Yeah.
Hey, we have heard this heaps about the UN climate meeting, though. This has been a big topic. You announced the ACCT's agreement, between five small nations, including us, which will be using trade regulations to promote low carbon. How is this going to work?
Yeah, so it's something that actually the World Trade Organization tried some years ago, which didn't succeed. The idea is that you make it easier. You remove tariffs and non-tariff barriers for technologies and products and services that all help with adaptation and mitigation for climate change. So, for example, making it easier and cheaper to sell and buy solar panels or wind turbines. And so we've, as a starting point, said between us, and New Zealand's taken a lead in this work, we'll negotiate an agreement between the countries who have started out on this, and that includes Norway and Iceland, and we've also got Costa Rica, Fiji. But the idea is that it grows, that we start it and that we get other countries to sign on. The other part of the agreement is around removing fossil fuel subsidies. That's been something New Zealand has been pushing for a number of years. We're going to the WTO again this year to push on that. We currently around the world have about $500 billion worth of fossil fuel subsidies to encourage the production and consumption of fossil fuels, which is ridiculous, obviously, in the environment we're in right now. So not only are we trying to encourage greater trade of those green tech, we're also trying to discourage those subsidies.
I do have to ask, though, then, if that is one of the major parts of this, then why did the government extend the tax break to oil companies exploring in our waters for another 5 years earlier this year?
So just to explain that, there's basically a quirk in our system that means when oil rigs are coming in, keeping in mind, of course, these are oil rigs that are potentially here for existing permits. You'll remember the government has stopped issuing permits for the future, but there are a number that already exist. And if we were to remove that, of course, comes with a whole lot of legal and financial issues for the Crown. And so when oil rigs come in, they have a certain period of time in which they operate. And then, because of the way our tax system works, they will then, in order to continue to operate in that particular tax zone, they basically leave briefly and then come back in again. So you could argue that that adds an inefficiency and extra emissions from them doing that. So it's they already have that workaround. So essentially it's a carryover, extending that ability for them just to continue to exist as a carryover of what we've had in New Zealand for a number of years. And look, if we had not let that continue, they would have just continued to leave and then come back in again.
So going back slightly to the climate meeting at the UN, did you speak to Donald Trump about climate change when you met with him?
Only very briefly. At the front of the meeting, I briefly discussed the Climate Action Summit, which had obviously was a big part of the opening of UN Climate Week. You'll see that he attended briefly. I'd spoken at the beginning of that meeting, so did Angela Merkel, and obviously everyone would have seen the really powerful speech from Greta at the beginning of that summit, so I briefly discussed that. Beyond that, it wasn't a lengthy conversation. I've been really open about that. I would love for the United States to rejoin the Paris Agreement. I think the whole world would. But I equally was realistic about whether or not continuing to have that conversation would have got us any closer to that outcome. We did, however, discuss things like our gun legislation and gun law reform in New Zealand. So we did talk about some issues where we probably had some different opinions.
Let's just really briefly talk about, speaking of Greta Thunberg and all the amazing young climate activists really working hard at the moment, huge strikes on Friday in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I believe we were one of the highest per capita, which is a really amazing thing.
Yeah.
So what actions are the government going to take, beyond just setting targets, I guess, to sort of prove to these young rangatahi that we are, I guess, taking real action on climate change?
And you're right, we have to move beyond target setting. So, of course, we have a range of expectations that we've signed up to, and in the last 2 years, We've been focused on creating a plan to get us there. So the first thing, by the end of the year, we're very keen and on track to see our zero carbon legislation pass. Now, the reason that's not just about targets is because it sets up an independent climate commission that can help us with our carbon budgeting. So it can help us plan to get to net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And also, of course, we've got targets in there around methane, because that's obviously one of our biggest contributing areas. On methane, we've also reached what it became really clear to me is completely unique. When I'm overseas talking about agriculture, no one else in the world is making the moves that we are in that space. So we've already said 2025, there's agreement between us, and we've also managed to get agreement between farming leaders that we need to have agriculture part of our emissions pricing scheme. And our goal, of course, is to do that farm by farm, which will make us world leading. That's going to take us a bit of time to set up the infrastructure. We put in $229 million last budget to help us get there and to help with farm by farm environmental planning, because we know if we change the way we farm and move to more sustainable methods, we can again become the most sustainable food producer in the world. Transport's a big problem for us. Most countries in the world, we might be world leading in the area of agriculture, we are not on transport. Mm. Most countries have either regulation or incentives for low emitting vehicles. Now, it doesn't just mean EVs, it just means low emission vehicles generally. Mm-hmm. We're currently out there consulting on changing that. So that's what we're looking to have completed, of course, within our term as well. We're, of course, putting billions into public transport, the biggest investment any that we've seen in recent times into rail options, walking and cycling. Of course, we've stopped the issuing of permits for offshore oil and gas exploration. We are investing in supporting hydrogen as a new option for New Zealand's energy generation. We'll be opening, there's a JV, a new hydrogen plant that's looking to open around Taupo at the beginning of next year. And so those are the kinds of things that will get us to 100% renewable electricity generation by 2035, which is also one of our goals. So that's a snapshot. I could probably keep going because there's quite a lot of
plenty to go into there.
And
just
done that in 2 years, and it's more than any government has ever done on climate change. But it's because we have to.
Mm, absolutely. Well, just briefly before we let you go, because we haven't spoken to you since the sexual assault allegations have come out within the Labor Party. Beyond the QC investigation, what are the actions that you would like to see your party take to ensure that this just doesn't happen again?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I'm keen to do, because we're looking at our own processes, and we've had an independent third parties coming in to do that, alongside that person who's establishing just the facts of what happened. We're looking to bring in someone with good expertise in the space of working with victims to look at that process and really help us to make sure that this never happens again. We've got our conference in November, and that'll be a space where actually we're hoping to provide support and training, because we're a voluntary organisation and we have lots of volunteers around the country who will be saying, what if I ever get disclosure or any issues like that? How do I deal with that? So we need to support our volunteers, and so we'll be looking for ways to do that at conference as well.
Do you know what ways that would be in necessarily, or is that still in discussion?
Well, we're already having conversations. We're very lucky that within our caucus, we've got people like Portal Williams, Angie Warren Clark, Priyanka Radhakrishna, who have worked with Shakti, Women's Refuge, and with in the space of family and sexual violence. They're helping us as a party to bring in victims advocates to help us with training around creating safe spaces for events, but also what to do if you have anyone who discloses to you. So really practical things.
All right. Well, that's probably all we've got time for this morning, Prime Minister, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Nice to have you back on the show. We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.